Hey, Hawkeye fans, a win, Kennington Smith. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register, Kennington Smith of the Des Moines Register, eagerly awaiting the Georgia game. But before we get to that, Kennington, we got to talk about Iowa's 21-0 win against Kentucky. I'll try not to do as in the intro of the Cooper DeGene MVP lady here and bungle it. But a pretty fun day. I mean, it was entertaining. I had a lot of fun, you know. Watching Joe Labus, Broadway Joe. He's now Broadway Joe, not Smoking Joe. Cooper DeGene and the X-Man, Xavier Wampa with a touchdown each. And Torrey Taylor was magnificent and broke some news at the end. Tons of stuff going on today. What stood out to you, my man?
Yeah, I think the thing that stuck out to me was the season ended the same way it began, with Iowa's defense delivering a masterclass and outscoring the offense. First game of the season, it was two safeties outscoring one field goal. And then today it was two touchdowns to Iowa's one touchdown. But you know, as much as everybody wants to talk about the offense, and we are going to get to that, I think that it cannot be understated how good this defense is. And Kentucky was shorthanded, so was Iowa's. We understand that. But for Iowa's defense to have the performance that they had today, and I mean outside of the two touchdowns, they held Kentucky to 2 of 18 on third down. Kentucky crossed midfield one time on offense. 186 total yards. I mean, they couldn't do anything. And they could still be playing right now, and they would have not found the end zone. That's how locked in Iowa's defense was. Jack Campbell, and our hearts and our prayers go out to him and his family with the tragic loss of his grandfather. But he was great today, led the team in tackles. But they belong to the secondary, honestly. I mean, Cooper DeGene, Xavier Wampa, Sebastian Castro was great. Quinn Schulte was solid as always, and Riley Moss made some plays as well. That is kind of, you know, Phil Parker's wheelhouse, that secondary, and they kind of powered the defense today. So that's where our start is, a defensive masterclass, and what a send-off for a lot of seniors and mainstays on that side of the ball.
Yeah, I just calculated, I was a season defensive average down to 13.3 points per game, and that's with a 54 against Ohio State that we all agree was sort of an asterisk type of 54. That could end up being number one in the nation if Georgia, which is at 12.8, you know, they're probably going to allow a few points to Ohio State, I'm guessing. You know, I'm not going to say they're going to lose, but I'm just saying. And then Illinois, he's the only other team ranked ahead of Iowa in scoring defense. So, and they have yet to play, right? So Iowa could end up leading the nation in scoring defense, which and that doesn't even count the scores they put up themselves. So yeah, well put there. Where do you start? I mean, really every defensive player for the Hawkeyes looked good. I mean, it was great to see Xavier Wampa just play every snap. It just seemed like he gained more comfort. And to me, that was like, I know Cooper got the MVP, and there was the Joe Labus moments, but that when Xavier Wampa had that pick six, it was like, okay, this game is going to be a positive experience for this team, because your five star just took you to the house and literally against an SEC opponent, you know, and that was really good to see. And I think should be really – let's talk about this secondary for next year right now, Kennings. I mean, that – we saw Jamari Harris on the sideline before the game. You know, I think we think he's going to be terrific next year. Back opposite Cooper DeGene, who's outstanding. We both talked about how good Castro was. And then Quinn Schulte, you know, he's just so good you don't even notice him sometimes. And then Xavier, you could just see him get better and better as the game went on. Had a bunch of tackles. I think he was second on the team in tackles. So secondary looks really good next year. Something to build on today.
Yeah, I think that another takeaway that I have, it seems like the starting secondary is locked in next year, and there have been conversations about moving Cooper back to Cash and his playmaking ability there. But I think the fact that you can put him on an island against the other team's best receiver is very comforting. And I think that the way that Castro played today, this was the best game of his career, but the way that he has just ascended throughout the season has been somewhat of an underrated storyline. And he has earned a name for himself as a hard hitter, sure tackler. And we've seen that last season and especially this season, but the growth that he's made in pass coverage has been has been pretty remarkable. And today, Kirk Ferentz said this in the post game. I mean, they attacked him often today, and he answered the bell in pass coverage. He broke up a deep ball that was notable in the first quarter. And I think that his ascension and what you think his development could be going into the offseason, getting, you know, those first team reps and just having the confidence that he has, he will be able to more than hold his own at the cash position, which leaves Cooper at corner. Jamari Harris was really good last year. Thought he was going to have a breakout year this year. He'll be back. Quinn Schulte, he's the brains, you know, lead communicator, just very solid, like you said. And then Xavier, his playmaking ability, his short tackling ability, helping it in run coverage, and the amount of confidence that he's going to gain from this game. You feel really, really, really good about the secondary. And it seems like, you know, going into this year, we said, you know, the secondary could be better than the previous secondary that broke the school record in interceptions. And then now you're looking at next year's secondary and you're thinking to yourself, man, this one could be potentially the best of the three. You think about the high level talent, the amount of development there, and, you know, all the confidence that all five of these guys, you know, are going to gain in the offseason. So it's going to be an elite unit, and I expect them to be in the conversation of best secondaries in the country if everything aligns.
According to Matt Brown on Twitter, Iowa is the first Big Ten team to shut out an SEC opponent in a bowl game. That's ever. Wow. How about that, Mr. SEC?
It was a historic day, man. This was the first shutout in Music City Bowl history. I think Scott Docterman from The Athletic said this is the first Big Ten shutout in a bowl game since 1999.
Yep. That's what he said. Yeah, I haven't checked it, but I believe him.
I mean, historic day all around. I mean, Phil Parker, one of the most valuable assistants in the country.
Yeah.
And past the secondary, defensive line played exceptional today. I mean, John Wagner was, you know, really good today. They have four sacks by four different guys. Deontay Craig had a sack today. He looks like an emerging star.
Yeah, he looks so good.
Yeah, so you feel good about the defensive line. I mean, linebacker is really going to be like the big void. Losing Jack Cameron, presumably Seth Benson. We don't know, you know, exactly what he's going to do. Right. You know, Jay Higgins really going to be the only one back with some amount of significant experience. So a little concerned about that group, but they're just going to be insulated by two really good groups in the front and the back. So you expect Iowa's defense to continue to be very good next year. And, you know, with Torrey Taylor announcing that he's going to come back, Drew Stevens going into his sophomore year, back at long snapper, special teams will be elite. And, you know, that just leaves you know, the offense.
There we go. Good segue.
But two of the three phases, really good today. And you expect them to be, you know, of that same caliber next season as well.
Yeah, just want to give credit to all Iowa's defensive coaches. I mean, Kelvin Bell, Jay Neiman, Seth Wallace, Phil Parker. I mean, only of their 10 full-time coaches, only four are on defense, and they just it's a machine. It's just the defensive line is mostly going to be back next year. We don't know about Lucas Van Ness. I kind of think he's probably going to go, but you know, Iowa they've got pieces. I mean, Aaron Graves played a ton today. Y.A. Black played a ton today. Deontay Craig, like you said, I mean, he just looks terrific. I think Joe Evans more than likely will come back as a sixth-year senior, especially if Lucas goes. So, you know, I think you feel good about that. But let's not talk about as much about next year. Let's talk about today a little bit more and go back to the offense. I just like seeing what they did with Joe Labus. I know, you know, the Hawkeyes only end up with 206 yards. They just didn't run a lot of plays, and they didn't really let him loose on third down, which I guess when you get ahead 21-0 is probably pretty smart. But it kind of goes back to yesterday's quote, Kennington. I want to bring this up so we can kind of pull this all together from offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz when I asked him to grade kind of how he as an offensive coordinator performed this year. He said, "I would say I did the best I could this year with the pieces that we had to try to put the team in position to win." And then he goes on and on. But that was the nutshell part of the quote, which I think you have to say he did that today. I mean, even the yardage was low, but I think he took a pretty dire situation on offense and got enough done.
Yeah, I mean, it was enough to win. And I think what I appreciated – and I know points didn't come out of the first drive, but I appreciate that they let Joe kind of throw the ball a little bit in that first possession. I mean, I think he had the first three plays were pass plays. You know, they all went for first downs. I wish that they would have allowed him to maybe push the ball down the field. It just felt like all of his passes were in that 0 to 5 yard range. And there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of the screens ended up going for some positive gains, but I would like to see him maybe take a few more deep shots down the field. Would have, you know, I think another aspect when you talk about the pieces that they had, I thought it was very telling that we didn't really see any receivers besides Nico Ragaini and Deontay Vines play today. I don't know if Brody Black had any snaps today. Maybe I missed it. I don't. You're muted. What'd you say?
Oh, Alec Wick played.
Alec Wick played, but we didn't see Jacob. Didn't see Jacob Bostic. So it was a thin receiver room. They utilized the tight ends pretty frequently today. I think that the big thing that you look at is obviously they weren't good on third down, 0 for 11, 0 for 2 on fourth down. And I thought the line did a pretty decent job of protecting Joe and pass protection, but running the ball wise, I mean, they just weren't getting much push on Kentucky's defensive line. So still think the offensive line is a big question mark going into the offseason, but it was enough to win. I do think that they went very risk adverse once they were up. Joe was doing a good job of protecting the ball, and I don't think that they were trying to impress anybody or open up the playbook knowing that there was no way Kentucky was coming back on that defense today. So thought Joe was solid. He did what he needed to do. He executed the game plan pretty much to a T. I mean, didn't put the ball in any dangerous situations. There weren't any passes that you thought could have been intercepted. Had a touchdown pass, you know, led one scoring drive. He could have led a scoring drive on that first possession. They went for it on fourth down. I'm not quite sure why. That seemed like a pretty easy field goal drive on that first possession. So the numbers weren't great. Really bad on third down, but it was enough to win. And I was impressed by what I saw out of Joe Labus. And I feel like he can be, you know, a very competent number two quarterback next year.
Yeah, Iowa only ran 48 plays today. 24 were passes and 24 were runs. So they definitely didn't restrict it too much. And the run really wasn't working, like you said. You know, Joe, the only thing I wish I could have seen more of was Joe, you know, getting out of the pocket and moving and making some kind of, you know, improvisational play. We didn't really get to see that today from him. And I was kind of hoping to see that. I mean, he did do a couple RPOs, but it wasn't really as much RPO as I think we thought. But it was cool to see Sam Laporta get a series. I really wanted him to get that first down because he got 6 yards on that very first run. And I was like, oh, yeah, here we go.
I feel like they should have play action on third down.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It would have been awesome for you, especially throw it to Lachey. That would have been awesome.
Right. You know, they go power on first down, got a good game. Then they handed it off, didn't get, you know, much of a game on second down. They go power again on third down. I was like, man, Kentucky can see this coming a mile away. Like, just, like, lead into Caleb, let him crash down, pull the ball at the last second. That could have been a wide open touchdown. But the over-under that we set on Laporta's quarterback snaps definitely hit. I think we set it at 0.5. He got a whole series, three snaps.
He wanted more. He said he was ready to throw the ball. But, yeah, what he did catching the ball today was huge because it was a great comparison, too. I know you didn't cover this game, but the 2019 Outback Bowl against Mississippi State was a game where Iowa gained, I think it was exactly 200 yards. It might have been 199. It was about the same as today. And TJ Hockenson had a play late in that game where he broke a ton of tackles off just a little pass. And that was a big play in that game. And the same thing with Laporta today, a 27-yard play. I believe that was Iowa's longest play of the day, probably the longest play by either team, I'm guessing. Yeah, it was. And, you know, that set up Iowa's first touchdown. And then all of a sudden Kentucky was, you know, playing from behind. You don't want to do that against this Iowa defense. Mark Stoops said that, right? You know, Iowa was good to be in Iowa or whatever. So, what else, Kennington? What else before we get to three-word headlines? We got a lot to, you know, big picture stuff. How about that? You know, an 8-win season, like we said. I just think they needed a win. The whole athletics department, after the swarm stuff, the basketball, just free fall. And then, of course, the, you know, the Nebraska loss, you know, a while back, and the Caden Proctor decommit. I mean, there's been a lot of bad news in the two big sports at Iowa. You really have to go back to the Minnesota win, right? Before, the, you know, I mean, signing day was fine, but like Iowa athletics needed today, I feel like. In these 3 hours, I've heard from a lot of people. They said they had fun watching the game. Just kind of intrigued. And once they started watching, it was like, oh, yeah, I'm really into it again. You know, it's just, it was fun. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I think this, I think it did a lot to build some positive momentum going into the offseason. And this goes back to what I said at our preview show is find good stories. There were a lot of good stories today. Joe Labus was very solid. He looks like a competent number two quarterback. Xavier Wampa is a superstar. And we felt like that, that he has superstar ability, but we got a chance to see that. Torrey Taylor coming back for another season is huge for this program. You, I think you pointed out to Kirk Ferentz. I don't want to misstate the stat, but they're, you know, one of a few programs that's had, you know, seven straight eight-win seasons or something like that. That's a good story. So there was a lot to take away from this game, and it obviously meant a lot to a lot of these players. Another good story, obviously, is a huge send-off for the Jack Campbells, the Riley Mosses, the Sam Laportas, et cetera. Meant a lot to them on the stage. You know, you could see the emotion. So, you know, overall, I think it was, you know, a fun day for Iowa fans. Like you said, I do think that people were into it. And I think that there's a lot to build off of going into the offseason when you, you know, look at several different positions or several different players. So Iowa accomplished what they wanted to accomplish today. I mean, they got the win. They were able to, you know, send fans into the new year with something to smile about and, you know, have a lot of optimism going into next season.
Hey, and I know the team isn't flying back till tomorrow. So if you see some of those seniors on Broadway tonight, Hawkeye fans, you know, buy them a drink. You can do that. And, yeah, you might see these guys having a pretty good time tonight. I think they're ready to let off some steam.
Yeah.
You know, and they deserve to celebrate. You know, that was an impressive performance out there. So good for them. You want to do three-word headlines here? I guess there's a million of them. So
Yeah, I have a few. I have a few bookmarks.
Yeah, go for it. If you got any.
Right. I'm going to start with our colleague, Travis Hines, who took one for the team and covered that debacle at Nebraska for us on the men's basketball side. Cash the under.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Lowest under in, college football history or something like that. It was well short of that. 10 points, 21. So, people were talking about on social media, like, oh, hammer, you know, hit the over. There's going to be points. Do not listen to those people. Under. And from Andrew Blessing, which I thought was clever, the Undertakers.
Yeah,
like, there you Undertaker, go. The Undertakers. So, like that one.
Dean Amen says, out of Busch Light. Apparently, Iowa did its job at the tin roof this morning and took care of the Busch Light supply there. Chris Bryant, one of our favorites, says that's complimentary football. You know, that little spin on that's football. Yeah, the field position that Iowa incrementally got with Cooper DeJean and Torrey Taylor on special teams totally set up that first touchdown and totally tipped the field. And Mark Stoops acknowledged as much that Iowa's special teams were elite. And that's something Kentucky needs to work on. That's why they are getting new special teams and offensive coordinators. Iowa should feel very, very lucky with LeVar Woods. Go ahead.
This from alias Rob Roy, Campbell, Moss, Laporta.
Yeah, I mean, three great captains, and obviously Kayvon Merriweather was outstanding too, and you almost give another little hat tip to Kayvon for opting out because we got to see Xavier Wampa as a result. And Xavier showed that he has learned well from Kayvon Merriweather. So hat tip to Kayvon for a phenomenal career. And also gave Torrey Taylor the captain's nod. So that's pretty good. I don't know about this one. Justin Van Horn says, go ahead.
This one, Brandon, from Brendan Stiles, Iowa being Iowa. I mean, played field position, played good defense, did enough on offense, though it was very ugly, and got the win. So very Iowa-esque performance.
Pat Forty, prominent national writer, he weighs in with his three-word headlines. He's always plugged into Iowa sickos committee type stuff. So on brand, he said. And it's got like 10,000 views or something like that. So Iowa football is definitely on brand for the season. About a 200-yard offensive game and try to win with that.
Here's one that kind of sets up some larger conversations from Jason McArthur. Let's part ways. I think that could be the case, not only for Brian Ferentz, maybe even a few other assistants. I know George Barnett's been a coach that's been kind of caught in the crosshairs a little bit from fans for the development of the offensive line. So it'd be interesting to see what Iowa does with their coaching staff from here. The season is officially over. Kirk said they're going to do a deep dive or whatever he said, you know, a few weeks ago, maybe deeper than normal, something like that. So
yeah, right.
See what they do with the staff in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I think you got to give it some time. I mean, Greg Davis retired, I want to say it was about 3 or 4 days after the bowl game. You know, I don't think Brian Ferentz is going to retire. So I think there's going to have to be a little period here where things shake out. Don't know what's going to happen for sure. I've kind of indicated I feel like this was his last game one way or another, but we'll find out. I mean, things can change. So let's see. What else? What else? There's a lot of kind of goodbye Brian, you know, now fire Brian, that type of thing. So a lot of people still ready to, like, he's kind of on that theme. Todd Brommelkamp, I like this one a lot. In fact, I'm going to make this my best headline of the game of the day, because also of where we went to dinner last night. He said Nashville hot pickin'. That's a good one, Todd. Yeah, we had some Nashville hot chicken last night, and it was awesome.
Here's one from Troy Vandermolen, which I think is clever. He says 3 L's equals W, Laporta, Lachey, Labus. Those three on the two-play 42-yard drive. That's like the Iowa special this year, two-play scoring drives. So Laporta on the 27-yarder, which is a highlight reel, and then hits Lachey, who was lined up on the outside as a receiver, breaks the tackle, gets into the end zone. So those three combining for a pretty key score. That was the first score of the game. So really important moment.
T. Dalton says 10-3 with Labus. I know that's not exactly three words, but there's a little. I mean, Labus didn't exactly light the world on fire, so let's just talk about him a little bit here. I'm not going to say Iowa would have gone 10-3 with Joe Labus, but I think today was almost like the perfect script for Iowa to not really have a quarterback controversy in the spring, but also feel pretty good about your number two quarterback, don't you? I mean,
yeah,
like, okay, Cade McNamara. I mean, Tory Taylor even said, like, we're real excited about Cade McNamara. I mean, this is right after Joe Labus was in there. I think you feel good about Cade McNamara 1, Joe Labus 2 right now. It was great to get that experience for Joe.
I think that here's the way that I would contextualize Joe Labus today and what it means for the future. Kirk Ferentz said today that 2 weeks ago they were concerned about getting a playoff on a 25-second clock. And today Joe played as solid as somebody in his situation could have and got a win in the bowl game. Think about the steps that he could take from here on out, knowing that from now on, he is not going to be a scout team quarterback anymore. He's solely going to be running Iowa's offense as a number two quarterback from here on out. So how many more steps can he take in the next 8 months with Spencer Petras staying on the roster, continuing to help him out? Cade McNamara, who's played at the highest level, played in the biggest games, helping him along. Maybe he'll earn some more trust, get a little bit more of a leash. And, you know, if Cade is a one and done, you probably feel good about Joe in 2024. If Cade has a setback or he gets hurt or something like that, you know that there is at least some proof of concept of what Joe can do in a live game. So that's really all that the fans were hoping for, I think, coming out of this one. Here's one from Blake, and I would like to get your thoughts on this. Retire number 31.
Yeah, I mean, just two numbers retired in Iowa football history, Niall Kinnick and Calvin Jones. But, I think probably won't. I'm guessing that's not going to happen. However, hard to say. I mean, I got a little heat for saying I thought he was the best linebacker in Iowa history. And I think I'm not saying I was right, but I'm standing by it. Let's put it that way. And Larry Station was a two-time All-American, so nothing against Larry. I mean, those would probably be the top two in my book. I found one more that I thought you might enjoy. Jake Steinberg just means more.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
My thoughts are, for all of the people who have a lot to say about, you know, the SEC, I hope that you keep the same energy in a few hours. One, because Michigan is, I don't know what the score is right now. They're in a little bit of trouble. But, you know, when Georgia's playing tonight, I hope that you have phone service. I hope your phones are fully charged. I hope that y'all are active on Twitter tonight. And I'm taking this game personally. I'm going to treat it as such. So, okay. But it's been bad for the SEC. I mean, it's been horrible. Like, there's been blowouts. 21-9 right now, TCU. Okay. Yeah. Oklahoma and Texas both lost. So it's been bad. But I'm hopeful that Georgia will clean up this mess a little bit. Here's one from Day Sleeper that has been a constant one all season long. Punting is winning.
There you go. Let's finish on that one. That's perfect, especially with Torrey Taylor coming back for next year, which is just really just huge news. I mean, the only team in America where you really, you know, are waiting on a punter decision, but it really is significant because I don't know if Iowa had a great answer in line for next year. So awesome news for the Hawkeyes there as well. All right, let's do a final thought each because we got to get out of here at 5:30. They're closing the press box pretty soon. Kennington, your final thoughts on the 2022 Iowa football season?
It was not the result that fans wanted or that the team wanted, but it ended on a positive note. I do think that there is an extreme amount of pressure on the 2023 team. There's a lot of transfer portal additions. This is the last year of divisions. So we've been talking a lot in the last 2 years about kind of a turning point in Iowa's program. When you think about NIL, when you think about the transfer portal, when you think about where college football is going and where is Iowa going to kind of fit in that dichotomy, I think that next season is going to be like that culminating point of everything that we've been talking about. And what happens next year is going to determine a pretty good amount about the future of Iowa's program. So today was a very good win. There's going to be a lot of momentum and positive things going into the offseason. So the question is, how is Iowa's program going to build on that? I think is kind of where I leave this season.
Yeah, well put. You framed that really nicely. Michigan just scored, by the way. Ronnie Bell, long touchdown pass. So they're back in it. As you were talking, I think my final thoughts of this season are about the players, just seeing them celebrate. We've gotten some – this group of players in particular, these seniors that are going out, we've covered a lot of different stories with these guys between 2020, COVID, racial bias, last year's kind of success, and then the ups and – going to number two in the nation – the ups and downs. I mean, so many highs and lows in these last three to 5 years. I still vividly remember the 19th season. I mean, Laporta played a big factor in that. So did Riley Moss. A lot of these guys were part of that as well. And this is just a really, really impressive group of guys. They will be missed by this program. Laporta, Campbell, Benson. I mean, maybe Benson comes back, but, Moss, all these, Merriweather. Spencer Petras, absolutely. No question about it. And, the list goes on and on. The guy, Noah Shannon, John Wagoner, it's just
– it's a lot. A lot of guys who have been regulars at Tuesday availability, like who's going to be like the next
– Well, and that's what Kirk – that's what Kirk was saying after. The thing he sees that they need is leadership. For the 2023 team. So I think he's going to looking for leaders. I mean, I'm thinking like a Logan Lee certainly would be in that category. I don't think you have to look too far in the secondary. Cooper DeJean skill-wise is out of this world. And, I'm not sure. He just seems like a guy that people want to follow. But that's on the list for Iowa. A lot to replace in that department is what I'm saying. Iowa is losing a really good senior class, and that's kind of where my final thoughts are from this game and this season.
Yeah, 100%. And again, just to kind of end it out, again, our thoughts and prayers are with Jack Campbell, who played amazing today, and can't imagine kind of the feeling of, you know, going out on top and winning and then hearing, you know, very tragic news after that. So, you know, wherever he is right now, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with him. You know, yours are as well, and all of ours. So people are going to be out tonight celebrating the win, but, you know, take a minute to say a prayer for his family.
Absolutely. Well said. For Kennington Smith, this is Chad Lysico of the Des Moines Register saying thanks for following us all season at hawkshutter.com for our podcasts. Donut One will be back with you next, but really appreciate y'all, and take care and enjoy the win. That's the last three-word headline. Enjoy the win.